Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the inaugural episode of Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis, the podcast where we'll dive deep into the world of educational leadership. I'm your host, Addison Davis, and I'm thrilled to have you join me as we embark on the inspiring journey together. As a superintendent once myself, I understand the challenges and complexities that come with leading a school district. But what I've come to realize is that there's abundance of amazing work being done by superintendents all across our country. This podcast is a platform to shine a spotlight on their incredible accomplishments and innovative approaches. Each episode will bring you exclusive interviews and superintendents from various districts across our country, both big and small, urban and rural, as they share their personal stories, triumphs, and even their moments of vulnerability. We will explore the strategies they employ to tackle the ever-evolving landscape of education, from fostering equity and inclusivity to embracing technology and preparing students for their future. But this podcast isn't just about showcasing success. It's about fostering a community of educational leaders who can learn from one another, share their experiences, and collectively navigate the complexities of our role. We'll discuss the tough topics as well, the difficult decisions, and the innovative solutions that are transforming education for the better. So while you're an educator, a parent, a student, or simply someone who's passionate about education, this podcast is for you. Superintendents Unplugged is your behind-the-scenes pass to the world of educational leadership, where we uncover the stories that inspire, motivate, and empower every one of us. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and entertained as we embark on this incredible journey together. I can't wait to introduce you to the remarkable superintendent who are changing the educational landscape one district at a time. Welcome to another edition of Superintendents Unplugged. I'm Addison Davis, and this is an episode of In Depth with Davis. Here today, we have the interim superintendent of Austin, Texas School District. Here today, Matias Segura.
Let's go.
Also, we have Todd Lamb, a partner in Strategos, really to talk about best practices in education and how he's doing some really cool work in Austin ISD to create the best moments for children. I have to talk about this. You know what? I've got 25 years in education. Tell us, how many years do you have in education?
So I've been in the education system for 6 years.
Say that again. How many years?
6 years total.
Todd, 6 years. I've got belts older than that. How does someone, and this is fascinating, this is also inspiration for everyone out there that wants to become a leader, do some cool things for children. How does this happen?
You know, I started out, I'm a non-traditionalist. People always like to talk about it. My background's in engineering and finance. And so, you know, I spent the first 12 of my years as a consultant. And I would go around and help public sector clients, school districts, municipalities, counties, solve complicated problems. And I'd look at their resource allocation. I'd look at finances, look at the way they manage organizational theory. I'd come in and help them, like, address their most challenging issues. And I actually picked up AISD as a client in 2016. We passed a billion-dollar bond, the biggest one in Central Texas history. And then all of a sudden, the leadership at the time, the board and the superintendent were like, hey, we need help doing this. And one of my biggest frustrations in that role previously was that school districts and other public entities didn't have the skill set internally to execute like that type of like transitional, like transformational work. And so I came on board as the operations officer, stayed there for a couple of years, moved up to COO. And then over the last 10 months, was promoted into interim superintendent to help stabilize the organization. And yeah, here I am. Absolutely loving every minute of it. It's awesome.
You know what? For those of y'all, look at the smile. And once again, we see it. 10 months in the superintendency as an interim. And you know what? Now has a chance to continue this great work to be the stable leader that your community deserves and needs. But transitioning from the private sector, from a consultant perspective, you know, one thing, you went into a very difficult role and you got hit with COVID. And you just talk about, you know, from the private sector to the educational system, being hit with COVID, you know, how did you maneuver through that so quick to understand the mechanics of the work?
You know, I think for us, you know, for me specifically, it's understanding systems. You know, we exist to support public education. But the only reason it exists, the finance system, the human capital system, building incredible buildings, safety, all of that is to support, you know, what's happening in the classroom, the relationship between the educator and the student. Sure. And so for me, you know, systems, you know, understanding processes, how to, you know, move our most precious resource to support this patient experience is what I had to do. And so when the pandemic happened in, you know, 2020, we adjusted, we pivoted. We went through a series of huge disruptions. Yeah. We actually went through a school closure process. Yeah. We had multiple disruptions in senior leadership. We built up the 2017 bond program, negotiated that with the city of Austin, constructed $1 billion worth of work in 4 years, moved forward, did another $2.44 billion this in 2022. And so over that period of time, just recognizing that to be effective, it's understanding your community. I'm born and raised in Austin.
There you go.
Right? I'm a product of AISD.
There you go.
You know, I got two kids in Austin ISD. My mom was a teacher in Austin ISD.
Thank
so
her.
I tell people all the time, like, I'm not an educator, but I am educated.
Absolutely.
And I love Austin ISD. And I will do anything for it. And so just bringing my skill sets to help move the work that hasn't moved for some time.
Awesome.
How many of your brothers and sisters superintendents would you say come from an engineering background? I would say less than 0.5%.
In 6 years.
I tell people all the time, because I teach people, you know, they're like, hey, you know, doctor this. Like, you can call me engineer Batiste if you want to.
Yeah, right.
I'm probably the only professional engineer, licensed engineer in the state of Texas who also is a superintendent. There are very few of us. You're seeing more and more, however, I think nationally, you're seeing CFOs move into the space.
Sure.
You're seeing COOs. You're seeing, you know, different, you know, leaders with their equity officers, even human capital, come into the space. So I think you're seeing more of it. And what I've observed within AISD specifically is a sense of relief.
Sure.
Right. You know, just wanting to move this incredible work that hasn't moved, and having someone come in who just thinks about all of it differently. And sure. And I think that's really helped us move in a way that we haven't for quite some time.
You know what? Just coming in and understanding that systems and processes is the way that you create systemic change. And this is not a world that you can band-aid. Education will expose band-aids every single day. But, you know, for you just talking about it, and, you know, whether you have, you know, chief financial officers, chief operating officers, human resource, chiefs of staffs, all kind of migrating to become superintendents, it's no longer an isolation that the chief academic officer is the shoe-in anymore. They're looking for individuals that are well-versed. How important is it to make sure when you get into the leadership role that you build that capacity of your entire infrastructure, where they're cross-trained and know every step intellectually and from a system perspective, where they grow together?
It's incredibly important. So without that, there's not shared ownership.
Yeah.
And so I'll tell you, when I came on board January 3rd, like, job 1A was to get special education, like, moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
We were under a 2-year investigation. We were working with the state.
Sure.
There was an order that's about to come out.
Never
good. Right. And so first thing I do is, you know, I made some organizational changes immediately, but the key action that occurred was getting my senior leadership team and essentially locking them in a room. And I said, we need to map out the academic system and the special education system. And I need each of y'all to have a shared understanding of how this actually works. And I'll tell you, I mean, as brilliant as people are, it is not often that they really understand the complexity of a system and how procurement or finance or human capital or all these things come into place. And that unless you understand that, understand your role in that work, you're not going to move the entire system. And so that experience with that leadership team at that time, I think, put us on a path that allowed us to begin to move work that hadn't moved. I mean, you know, at one point we had 22 LSSPs and diagnosticians. 3 months later, we had 74. You know, valuation, you know, backlog began to go down. We were incredibly aggressive on our budget process. You know, I'm a finance guy.
Hey.
You know, we did a $20 base pay, 7% increase. These things that are difficult, but from a risk mitigation perspective, very comfortable to me. And it's working, you know. And I think, again, like I will say this over and over again, the system, I think, is feeling a sense of relief because I'm moving the work in maybe a different way.
Sure.
You know, and being relentless about it.
Absolutely.
How many times have you heard somebody say, we never used to do it like that?
All the time. I actually went through a process, that systematically removed things from the classroom. You know, we were over-assessing. We were taken away from the educational experience. And, you know, it was incredibly important that I profiled, like, the principal's perspective, teacher's perspective, all the things that have been piled on over the course of many, many years.
Sure.
If I'm asking a system to respond and build a culture, I have to really recognize, you know, what things have been introduced by operation, things have been introduced by, you know, human capital. And you'd be surprised at the number of things that they're doing that really could have been stripped away. So we began to strip that away. But along that process, you know, we did hear a lot of people say, we've been doing this this way for a while.
Sure.
You mentioned Addison earlier in the interview, talking about a CFO mindset, bringing that to leadership in the schools. I can't help but think that and as you also mentioned, a lot of CAOs, chief academic officers, sure. get the top job.
Yeah.
I don't think many of them have any financial training
or operational.
Yes.
Or talent management.
Just, it seems like a natural.
Well, and you think about the risk. I mean, these are huge organizations. You know, the amount of funds that flow through them, you know, I mean, we're a $2 billion organization with another $3 billion in bonds. You know, the procurement side, the finance side, the
federal
side, the law side, the contracts. I mean, all of that stuff moves to the superintendent. When I was a COO, I would go to these panels and I was trying to scare superintendent straight. Essentially.
Yeah, right.
I was telling them, I was like, you have to recognize the risk that's associated with the organization when it's tied to operations and finance. You need to have people that understand it. And don't just assume that someone who's moved to the academic system is going to be well positioned. I mean, negotiating, you know, $60 million, $200 million contracts, you get something wrong. It's on the superintendent.
Absolutely.
Right? No, that is what's going to put
that
you.
Accountability is the greatest on
that's,
you.
So. That's right. 100%. And it's least familiar to most traditional superintendents.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Thank you so very much for being here today. Thank you for your courage to do some really cool things. Thank you for being able and willing to transition to public education.
Love it.
And really to help kids. I see the smile. I see the inspiration. I see the enthusiasm.
It's impact.
For those who are watching, you just graduated from a superintendent of the Casserly program, which aspiring superintendents become to really do some cool things for children. But you've heard it today from the interim superintendent in Austin Independent School District. Mateus is doing really cool work. We look forward to learning more from you. Thank you for being
Appreciate
here.
Appreciate it. Enjoyed
and,
it.
Look forward to connecting next episode as Superintendents Unplugged, In Depth with Davis. Look forward to seeing you in the classrooms.